love.
Amen. Bless you, you all. Well, the table has been set. And it's kind of like when we invite our guests and we prepare. Stay right there for just one moment. And we prepare the table and we prepare the setting for our guests. And in all that preparation, all that singing and all that worshiping and everything, we're setting the table for God's word. Let's give God a hand praise at that. We're setting the, hallelujah. But we need God's word. The singing is good and the music is good. God bless you. And everything's good, but we need God's word. Because it's the word that sets us free. It's the word that the worshipers are singing about. They're singing the gospel. It's the word that they're singing. It's the word that the musicians are playing. They're playing to the word of God. The word of God will keep us in tune. I'm like Jeremiah. The word is shut up in my bones. And I get a little excited, but I told myself this time, slow down, be patient, slow down. Wait on God. And I'm patient, I trust him, and I love him, and I believe that his message shall get across today. And I thank God that today I happen to be the messenger of God, and my life is surrendered unto him. And I owe him my all, I owe him everything. And I quit rehearsing this morning because every time I rehearsed it in my mind, it came up different. So I just yielded and said, let the Spirit have his way. For it's not me that speaks, but it's the Spirit in me that speaks. It's the Spirit that gives utterance. And you came today to hear a word from the Lord. You didn't come for a fashion, you know. You didn't come to see what everybody was wearing, but you came to hear a word from the Lord, to hear what God would say. How's he going to impact my life? And that's the word. The word meets everybody just where they are. And that's where the word met me. It met me at my lowest place. Some people met him on the mountaintop, but I didn't. I met him in the valley, and I thank God that lilies grow in the valley because I found him on my knees. My name is Norman Dixon, for those of you that do not know, and it's good to be before you today. I love AFCC. The word came to Pastor Jerry Wayne and Gita Doss first. And I thank you for being our leaders over this house. I thank God that he spoke this into existence and he did it through you. So we give you your flowers while you live. And if I had a cup of water, I'd give it to Jerry Doss and Gita Doss because I know I shall not lose my reward. I thank God for them. I'm a little more reserved than Gita. I saw her up here dancing out of her jewelry this morning. It was all over the floor. I said, whoa. I want to give God that kind of praise. Hallelujah. We can start right there. I want to give him that kind of praise. He's that kind of a good God. He's just God. He's just good. But I'm here. I'm a messenger of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. And he loves me. And that's the message we have for you today. That word is true love. That's the message we want to give to you today. We want to talk about true love. And the world is looking for love. The world is looking for love. Before I start, let me pray. I told myself I was going to slow down. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we cast out all fear, doubt, and disbelief right now. For Lord God, we decrease and we pray that you would increase. Now, Lord, have your way through us, Lord God, and have your way, dear God, in this place. For Lord, we recognize everything's in the house today. Some are joyful, some are not so joyful, some are heavy burden, some need to be lifted up. So Heavenly Father, let your word have its full work and full course in us, Heavenly Father, so that we might be set free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. And we want to make sure that we get all the preliminaries out of the way. We have three ways for you to give. You can give online. You can give online. And that's the way I like to give. I like to give online. Or you can text to give. And we know that you can text to give, or you can give. You'll see our ushers on your way out the door. You can give to the ushers, and we'll make sure that that money is being set forth to do the work of the ministry so that God's people, that's what it's all about, God's people, so that we can be set free. And I'm free today. I'm free to love. I'm free to give. I'm free to speak. I'm free to learn. I'm free to listen. I'm free. I can't make any mistakes up here today because I already have the victory through Jesus Christ, who first loved me. But I want to talk to you a little bit about true love. And we know that the world is looking for love. The world is looking for love. One more thing. We want to welcome our online guests today. And we want to welcome those from our Outer Park location and those that will be viewing us from home. And I want to say this because my parents are viewing from home. I thank God for all of you in the media ministry that make this possible, because anybody knows me, I love my parents, and I love you, and I honor you, and I give thanks for you. I thank God that you're still here today so that my days may be long upon the earth. I thank you, Lord, for that. And anybody else also that knows me knows that I love Jesus. I just love the Lord. I just love him. I know the way of the cross, and I love God, and I love God's people. And I know... I know that if we love God, we know that there's going to be some evidence there. There's going to be a heart thing there. You can feel the love of God. Amen. You can feel the love of God. I love my wife, Joelle. I told her I was going to give her a shout out today. I love you, Joelle. 34 years plus and counting, 36 years together. Amen. When I gave those vows in 1988, I meant that. I was looking for true love, and I found true love in her, and I honor that love. I honor that love. I love my children. I love them. My only grandson, I love him. I just have to give shouts out. I love them. We love our family, don't we? We love our family because our family is God's gift to us, and I love my family. But the world is looking for love, and I got saved. I got saved many, many years ago. It was 1989. And a preacher was preaching a sermon, and I'll never forget it. It changed my life. It was life-changing. I pray this sermon today is life-changing for you. But that sermon was looking for love in all the wrong places. And that was me. That was me. I knew I had a lot of love to give, but I don't take the word love lightly. I want that love reciprocated back in a very strong and powerful way. And if you love yourself, you want to be loved. Isn't that right? You want to be loved because I believe that we throw the word around love too lightly. You know, when somebody says, I love you, you ought to feel something. You ought to know that, you know, there's all different kinds of love, but you ought to feel some kind of love. And we know some people don't have a lot of love. You know, the world needs love. And that's why we have so many problems in the world, because the world needs love. So today we're going to be talking about true love, and you all know what true love is. That's why I'm here. We're talking about God's love. We're talking about that kind of love. We're talking about a loving God that will go to the outer limits, no limits, you know, to make sure that he takes care of his people. And I've identified four different types of love. I'm going to slow down just a little bit, but we're going to get to the word. As a matter of fact, for those of you that are looking for the word, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 8, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. But I just want to make sure that we kind of set the stage for where we're going with this. So let me say this first. This is the ancient Greek definition of love. I mean, you have your definition of love. I have my definition of love. And Dix is not speaking Greek. I do not know Greek. I barely know English. But I don't know much save Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ. I know him. I love him. But the first one is eros. And you all know, you all heard this before. This is nothing new to you all. But eros is that erotic kind of love. The kind of love that we'll see in relationships that make us come together, especially in the form of a husband and a wife that will bring us together. And some says sensual, some says sexual. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But I do want to get God's message across. I'm just going to say it how the Spirit gives it to me. So that's the first kind of love. That's a natural kind of love. That's, you know, the flesh. That's, you know, ooh, you know, man, she looking good today. You know what I mean? That kind of love, okay? And then there's storge love, and that's family love. And I can look around here and see that we got some strong families. I see some good dads in here. I see some good mom, people that have taken on the grandparent role. And I see that family love. This really comes from God. And it's the kind of love that is parental love, or where a parent loves a child, or a child loves his parent. And so it's that protective kind of love. We know God has that kind of protective kind of love too, right? Y'all gonna pray with me today, right? Y'all gonna talk back to me right today? All right. We're gonna get there, I promise you. And philae love. That's the brotherly love that comes from Philadelphia, philae, brotherly love. And that's the kind of love that's like in deep friendship. You know, I see pastors just walking in. I got that kind of philae love for pastor. That's my friend. That's my partner in the ministry. I love pastor. When I'm in a community and I find myself repeating something pastor said, I know that he's imparting something into my life. You know, it's coming to me right now. When pastor said, I want to leave here empty, I'm like you, pastor. I want to leave here empty. My time is not long up on the earth. I want to give it my all. I want to give God everything I've got, because I know my time is short up on the earth. And then I'm going to get to the final thing here, agape love. And we all have heard that. We know what that means. And it's going through our mind right now. That's the God kind of love. It's the kind of love that God gives. Man can receive God's love and can give agape love. We can give God's kind of love, but that's God's divine, unchanging love. God's giving love that gives without expecting anything in repayment. And when I think about that, what can we really repay God for the love that he's given to us? What can we really give? I mean, think about it. What do I have that I can offer God? You know, think about it. You're working in your possessions and your assets and everything. What can you really give to the Lord Jesus Christ for the love that he's given unto you? It's a love so great that it can give to the unlovable, the sacrificial, giving and absorbing kind of love, the divine love solely giving for the sake of mankind. And I think about that. How can God love everybody? Because, you know, some people, they're not that easy to love. Some people are kind of difficult to love. I'm going to love them anyway, because that's what I purposed in my heart. No matter, you know, what they do to me, I'm going to show love. I'm going to love them because that's how the world is going to know that we're Christians. That's how the world's going to know that we're different. The world's going to identify us because of the love that we have. And that's why the world is watching, y'all. And that's why we got to try to show love at every time we get a chance. Sometimes it's the little things, it's the subtle things that shows the love of God, because that's how we're going to draw sinners. That's how we're going to show the world this great love that God has talking about. But today we're talking about God's true love. And I found him, and I'm telling you, that's the best thing that's ever happened to me, is God's love coming up on me. So I want to get to the scripture, because that's what you came for. You came to feast off of the word of God, and this is nothing new. This is nothing new. God's word has been around, and God's word is going to remain. You know, the grass withers and the flower fades away, but God's word shall remain forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says like this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And I'm just going to take my time here. I'm watching the clock, y'all. I won't hold you long. I promise you. I won't hold you long. Okay? So even though I can speak with, man, I mean, we've heard people that can eloquently relay a message and just your ears just want to just like that, cling on to it. Even though I speak that, and even though I can talk in tongues, and I believe in tongues, and I believe in prophecy, and I believe in miracles, because I know God is still working miracles. And though I do these things, but I have not love, the Bible says, I have become as sounding brass and clanging cymbals. And he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, the Bible says, I am what? I am nothing. And I like that scripture. I like that scripture. Without Christ, I can do nothing. I can do nothing of my own, nothing of my own strength, nothing that amounts to anything, nothing that really matters about anything. But when I love you with the love of God, I know I'm making an impact. I know I'm in my rightful place. I know I'm in my, what I call my right mind, when I'm loving the way that God wants me to love. And every time I see that exchange, and every time I hug somebody and my heart begins to pump, or tears begin to flow from my eyes, or anytime I begin to embrace and I feel God's love, that makes it, I mean, just makes you just want to go and just love on the world. Because why? When somebody loves you, that love exudes, that love just flows, it just comes out. And sometimes it's the words, sometimes it's the expression, sometimes it's the look, but that kind of love, that's God's true love. God's true love. Yeah. It's not judgmental. It's not judgmental at all. And matter of fact, we should look with pure eyes and not judgmental eyes. But he says, although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. I'm going to get through this. It does not envy. You know, I have to go through this because this is chapter 13. We know chapter 13 is what? That's the love chapter. And we can see verse 4 through 8, it gives us a real definition of love. So it's important to take time. So we start right here at verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Have you ever done that, rejoiced in the truth? Man, that's a good thing to just know and say, Lord, I just told the truth, Lord. That's it. I'll leave it right there. You'll do the rest. Your spirit will do the rest. I'm just going to rejoice in your truth. The truth is, you know, that God will have his way. And so it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And then he comes down to verse 8. And he says something very important, the Apostle Paul does here. He says, love never what? Never fails. And I haven't seen love fail yet. Now, I know love does not fail, because when you do something out of love, there's always something good that's going to come back in the end. That's a good place right there to just give the Lord some praise. Anytime we do it, and we do it out of the right heart, and we have the right intentions, and we have the right motive, something good is always going to come out of it. So love has no fear. We don't have to fear. We just do it out of love. And then we don't worry about what we're going to get in return. We don't worry about getting a pat on the back. We don't worry about no accolade. We just do it, and we just do it out of love. And when you do it out of love, you don't need no witnesses. I mean, you know, if you do it to get a pat on the back, you received your reward already. But he said, love never fails. But he said, where there are prophecies, they'll fail. And whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which in part will be done away. It'll be done away. And that's why we say, yeah, we don't have time for shucking and jiving. Life is short. We need to love people with that, what we call that unfeigned love. You've heard that word, that true love, that love, that the love that was given to us, the love that we give back to one another. So the Apostle Paul, he was breaking it down here, and he was talking about what true love really looks like. And for the young ladies and the young men in the audience, and as I survey the crowd, you know, we know that the world needs a good example of what true love is. And that's why it's important for us, you know, I'm talking about the married folks mainly, you know, we need to show the example of true love. And that's why when I gave my word to Joel, I'm telling you, I ain't messing around. My love is only for her. My love is singleness of heart, you know, because I gave my word. My word's got to mean something. And because she gave me true love, why would I want to play the field? She's giving me true love. That's the best kind of love right there. It's true love, right? So I got true love. I found true love. And here in this chapter, I'm just going to just kind of break it down right here. What was happening right here in chapter 13, and we wonder why Paul was preaching this to the church at Corinth, because the church at Corinth, they were boasting about all their spiritual gifts, and they began to take the light off of God and try to shine the light on themselves. And anytime we try to elevate our gifts above the giver of the gifts, we're going to get messed up. We're going to get messed up. And if you want to see something unattractive to the world, to, you know, those that are not saved, and that is to see people who are arguing about who's doing what and who's better than who and who can do this and who can't do that, and that's unattractive to the world. And they began to argue over these things, and Paul had to, he said, man, I got to question your love. You doing all these things for self-gratification and to make yourself look good. And when really everything we should be to elevate Christ. Everything we do it so that the light of Christ will shine up on us. And not only up on us, that we'll take that same love. Because he said, if I be lifted up. Now, he was talking about the cross, y'all. I'm talking about the cross. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth. If we talk about Jesus and him crucified, yeah, him buried, him resurrected, if we can talk about that kind of love that he gave for us, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. So that's what Paul was talking about, and we gotta be so careful with our spiritual gifts. And we got to make sure that I heard Jesus talking about that. You know, we got to make sure that we keep the focus on Jesus, because we can get off base on a lot of meaningless stuff. And sometimes these things can be described as vainglory. And if it doesn't bring God no glory, or if it doesn't edify the body of Christ, or if it doesn't help a soul find their way to salvation, then what good is it? Have you ever thought about it? What good is it if it's not going to help, make somebody stronger in the Lord? If it's not going to help somebody increase in their faith, if it's not going to help somebody in their walk to become stronger so that they can go and help somebody else become stronger, then to me, it's dung. It means nothing. It's meaningless. It doesn't amount to a whole lot. And one songwriter said it this way. He said it this way. He said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. He said, all other ground is what? Sinking sand. It's all about Christ. It's all about what he's done for us. It's all about the love that he's placed inside of us. And we ought to be able to show that true love to others. All about Christ.
all other ground, everything else. Hey, I don't really care about too much else. I mean, if I don't get another car, if I don't get another house, if I don't get another job, as long as I have my relationship right with the Lord, that's what matters to me. Got to keep that relationship right, because the danger in that is that when that relationship gets off, man, I'm telling you, it's going to cause you some pain. It's going to cause humility. And with humility, there always comes repentance. And repentance is good for the soul, don't get me wrong. But it's best for me to not get off and try to keep my eyes on Christ, keep my focus. I call it being in my right mind. And another songwriter said it this way. He said, Jesus, you're the center of my, y'all say it for me, of my joy. He said, all that's good and what? Perfect. It comes from you. All that's good, every good thing that we've enjoyed in our life, hey, we can't take no credit for it. I can't take credit. God knows I wasn't that smart. I couldn't have planned it the way that it went. I couldn't have planned it that well. No, it wasn't because I was so good. It wasn't because I was so righteous. But it was the righteousness of Christ that was in my life that brought me and elevated me and picked me up out of the mire and the clay, told me to run on in the name of Jesus. And I'm very glad about that, very glad. But there's another songwriter that said this way, and man, we just sang this song, and I didn't know y'all was singing this song, but I like it. He said, I love you, Jesus, I worship and I adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you more than what? Anything. Anything. I love you more than anything. Whoa, I just lost my balance. I got a bad hip. I lost my balance. I'm all good. I told y'all I can't mess up. I told y'all. But anyway, I'm not going to be before you too long, and I have some points I'm going to make, but you know what? I'm going to save that for another day. I hear the music back here. But I got good sense. I got very good sense, y'all. Lord gave me the sense I got, and I'm going to use it. But before we go, before we make this altar call, I think y'all get my message. God's love is the true love. You can't beat God's love. God's love is unchanging. It'll find you wherever you are. If you're out on the coast, if you're up in the upper parts, if you're down and out, if you're in and out, His love will find you. And I'm so glad that He found me, because my life was messed up. And you know, that's the beauty of staying in the town that you was raised in. Most folks here know what you used to be. But see, when they see you now, that's the power of God written on your life. That's the power of God. So my message is, in this true love, I want to be like Peter. When Peter was in the boat and the boat was sailing, and Peter stepped out of the boat, and when Peter stepped out of the boat, guess what? He was walking on water. He had that kind of confidence. And you know, when you in right relationship with God, you got that kind of confidence. I mean, my wife said, be confident, but be humble and confident. So I'm confident, but I'm humble. And you walking in that kind of confidence, you just walking with God. And he was just walking on the water. And Jesus, he slowly began to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he cried out and he said, Lord, he says, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his mighty and his awesome and his saving arm, and he caught him. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. He said, why do you doubt? Why do we doubt? Why do we doubt God's love? God's love is with us. And some people are going through some things. I know they are. I've had my feelers out this week. Some people are going through some things. Some folks that y'all think got it all together are going through some things. Some folks that y'all think have arrived, they made it, they got status, they're up here. They're going through some things. They need God's love. And I never want to take for granted anybody that comes and says, man, speak a word. We ought to always have a word on our lips. And the first thing we ought to say, God loves you. He loves you. That's his love. His love was extended to us through his son, Jesus Christ, when he allowed him to die on that rugged cross. That was the epitome of God's love, because he extended it not just to me, not just to you. Many thousands have come, but he extended it to all of mankind. And he said, why do you doubt? And it says that he was saying, he caught him by the hand. He said, oh, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? And they climbed back in the boat, and the wind calmed down. And I love a God that can stop the wind. I don't know about you, but I want to serve that kind of God that can speak to my storm and say, peace, be still, and calm the winds. And the winds began to calm down. And the Bible says that when they got back in the boat, they worshiped him. And they began to say, truly, truly. You ever had that kind of confidence and faith? Truly, you are the Son of God. You know, when the Lord comes to your life and he touches your life, and that evidence is there, and man, when we were singing those songs, we was in that worship, man, my heart was just pounding, and I was just feeling the Spirit, and I said, truly, truly, you are the Son of God. So we want to make this pitch to you. We want to make this altar call. If you would all please stand. I have so much more, but you know what? I'm going to be good today. There's a lot more, y'all, to God's word when we're talking about God's love. There's a lot more, but I'm going to be good, because the Spirit is going to have his way. He's going to speak anyway. He's going to give utterance. But God's love never fails. Our ministers are going to come now. And as I survey this crowd, hallelujah, I'm going to take my time. As I survey this crowd, I know that some are up. I know that some are down. I know there's heartache. I know there's pain. I know there's anguish. I know that some people have been heartbroken. Have you ever had your trust broken? Have you ever had family hurt? Have you ever had loved ones step out on you? Have you ever felt like your goals and your dreams and your desires, they just didn't turn out the way you thought they should? And you begin to ask this question as we stand here, and some are going to be coming this way. Have you ever asked yourself, God, where are you in this?